Welcome to Ask Pastor John, featuring questions to help you apply God's truth to the issues of this life and the next. Our host is pastor and author John Piper. It is not one of the nine fruit of the Spirit listed in Galatians, but John Piper believes that boldness is an important trait for healthy Christians and healthy churches. John, how do we recognize if boldness is missing? Help us with a diagnosis. What does it look like?
Well, I suppose our minds turn first to its public manifestation. Is a Christian navigating his life so as to avoid conflict? There would be one of the chief evidences that courage, boldness is missing. And you mentioned it wasn't. It isn't listed among the nine fruits of the Spirit. That's true. But it is commanded that we fear not, for I am with you. And we're told to love God with all of our hearts and soul and mind and strength. And clearly, courage and boldness are set up in the Bible as a virtue that we should aspire to. So I would say the evidence of it first is a person making choices through the day, I'll go here, I'll go there, I'll talk to this person, I'll talk to that person, always thinking, I'm going to avoid conflict. I'm going to avoid conflict. I want to avoid being put in a position where I have to be different than somebody else. That would be a surefire sign that cowardice is gaining the momentum and courage is falling into the background. Also, just to a person's own private walk with God, when you read the Bible, are you avoiding those passages of Scripture which call for something radical? And if you are, then before you even hit the streets, the defeat is happening. So we need to expose ourselves to the difficult parts of Scripture that call us to do some tough things, as well as the more comforting parts of Scripture that assure us that all's well between us and God.
John, the reason we know names like Martin Luther is because he was so conspicuous in going against the flow of his time, standing up to the prevailing order and calling people back to God's word. Why are men like him so few and far between, seemingly, in church history?
I don't know the answer to that. But that seems to have been the case all through church history, not just during the period of the Reformation, not just in our day. And when you, I'm thinking out loud here, as you go back to the Bible, it seems to have been the case in the Bible. There was a Moses, and there was a Joshua, and there was a Caleb, and then there were the judges, and then there were the kings, and then there were the prophets, and then there was Jesus, and then there were the 12. I mean, God, it's not only, perhaps, Bob, not only a sign of weakness, but a sign of divine design that God leads by leaders, that we shouldn't always be saying the church is weak because there's only a Moses and only a Joshua or only a dozen prophets, but rather God seems to enjoy raising up spokesmen from time to time to do his special work, and he expects the rest to rally to the call of an Apostle Paul or a Peter. Now, I don't want to excuse everybody and say nobody else has to have courage, nobody else has to have vision, but as I think about it, that seems to have been God's way, even in the Bible. I think what I would supplement that with is saying, today, on this side of the cross, with what I see in the Bible, anybody who God raises up as a leader of a church or of a denomination or of a movement should be really praying, thinking, and strategizing for the multiplying of leaders. No leader should say, I like being a leader. I like being the one. A mark of a good leader would be leader maker. That's why so many leaders found schools, I think, because they say, I want more men coming along. I want women coming along who take the bull by the horns and exert an influence on our culture and on the world. So partly sin, yes, There are a lot of cowards in the world who ought to overcome their cowardice, but partly God's design. He seems to get a lot done by raising up leaders from generation to generation.
Luther's boldness came out of a powerful encounter with Romans. Would it be fair to say that it was birthed by good theology, and perhaps the reason we don't see more holy boldness is that our desire for good theology, understanding God, may be lacking?
Absolutely. I want to say for sure, lest anybody think we're elevating theology above God, that the Reformation was birthed by God. It was birthed by grace. It was birthed by God's sovereignty. But God always uses means, and the means that he uses are according to truth, and doctrine summarizes truth. And yes, absolutely, I think a clear, right, biblically true grasp of Christ is what will set a man's heart on fire, set a woman's soul ablaze so that they can't rest until they have spoken and acted and done everything they can to advance his glory. So I'm a tremendous believer in doctrinal preaching and doctrinal study. We have a lot of doctrinal classes at our church because I think when people have a clear view of the Christ of the Bible and the God of the Bible and the Holy Spirit of the Bible and the ways of salvation in the Bible and the ways of sanctification in the Bible, they're much more bold both to live for his glory and to speak for his glory than if things are all foggy and muddy and unsure and they're always saying, oh, doctrine doesn't really matter. What really matters is a relationship. And the person they have a relationship with is vague in their minds because they have no doctrinal understanding of his nature and character and the ways he works and the ways he influences people.
I do appreciate the emphasis that you brought there because I know that I think you and I, when we think theology, we think getting to know God better so we can praise him more truly, so we can know him more fully and enjoy him more fully, whereas some people, theology is an end in itself, and that can be very dangerous.
It can be very dangerous. We can play head games with anything. The most ironic thing in the world is that a totally God-exalting theology can be taken by a depraved human heart and made the means of boasting. Isn't that strange? And yet it happens. You can take any kind of theology, given how subtle and corrupt and fallen the human heart is, and make that a means by which we beat up people and exalt ourselves. So no theology is a guarantee of humility and boldness, but bad theology is less a guarantee than true theology. God loves his truth, and he means to use it to humble people and exalt his son and turn wimps into bold, humble, brokenhearted, bold, courageous people.
If you have a question for John Piper, send it to us. The address is radio@desiringgod.org. Radio, R-A-D-I-O, at desiringgod.org. You will also find a wealth of Christ-exalting resources, from free sermons and online books to questions and answers and much more at www.desiringgod.org.